Rabbosei Good Vach, hope all is good. Today's daf is Bava Kama Daf Tes. And as always, our learning should be b'schus those who are fighting and need a Yeshua, and Kosh Baruch Hu should watch over them. And obviously, we should have a Refuah Shleima for all the people who need a Refuah Shleima. We should be zochah to see a Gula Beheir V'Emenu, Yeshua Bekarov, Amen Ken Yeratzon. Okay, so we're here on Chesam Beis at the bottom, about 7-8 lines, Amar Abaye. Nothing directly connected to what we've been talking about the end of yesterday, but also dealing with fields, you know, and that type of nezikin and that type of stuff. So Amar Abaye Abaye says, Ruvain Shemachar Sade L'Shimon Be'achrayas. Ruvain sells a field to Shimon Be'achrayas. Achrayas means that he will pay him back if someone who Ruvain owes money to comes to take the field to Shimon. Again, the field has a lien on it. And Reuven promises to pay back. Also, Balchov de Reuven, right? And then Reuven's Balchov, the guy he owes money to, for Tarif Mishimon. And then the guy comes, and sure enough, Taka, he does come and takes the field to Shimon. Again, you can't just do that outside. I mean, you can only do that if Reuven has nothing to pay. Right? Reuven owes money. He has a field that he sold with a lien on it. So if he can't pay back the debt that he owes in the end, you know, a year or two later, whatever it is. So then the guy he owes money to can go take the money from Shimon. So sure enough, the Balchov, the guy who owes the money to, goes and takes the field from Shimon. Dina hu, the halacha is, the also Reuven and Mishtoi Dina behedya. The Reuven can go get involved with the court case. Velo matzi amalei, and the Balchov can't say to him, lav bal dvarim didiat. And the Balchov can't say, I have nothing to do with you, right? I took the field from Shimon, so Reuven, get out of here, right? He can't say that, meaning Reuven, right, even though the guy came and took the field from Shimon, right, Reuven can still kind of get involved in the court case. Damarlei, because he says to him, what's it called? Damarlei, right, e mifkas mine, right, alai hadar, meaning that e mifkas mine, meaning that if, what's it called? If you take the land from Shimon, so Shimon's going to come back, right, and say, hey, you sold me with this field with Achrayas, right? You sold me, you said you would pay me back if the guy come and took the field. Well, sure enough, the guy took the field, so now you owe me, right, for the field, right? You have to refund the money that I paid, right, for the field. So Reuven is in fact considered to be, right, a bar din, and he can get involved in the court case. Vigadamri, some people say, Afilu shelo b'achrayas nami. Even if the Reuven doesn't have to pay Shimon back a dime, right? Even if he sold him the field, he said, listen, there's a lien on it, but I'm not going to pay you back if the Balchov comes and takes it from you. And then sure enough, he does. Reuven doesn't have to pay back, but even in that case, Reuven can get involved, right, in the court case. Damarlei, because you can say, like, lo nichali to have the Shimon taromasalai. I don't want Shimon to be upset with me, right? I don't want Shimon to be upset. Therefore, Reuven is allowed to get involved. Says Tosos, right? It's a pretty straightforward question. Maybe you were wondering this yourself. What's the nafkamina, right? Who cares that Reuven can get involved? What do you mean get involved in the court case? Like bring edim, like bring witnesses. Shimon's allowed to bring witnesses, right? And we even, Tosos points out, we even learn. The Gemara says that if for whatever reason Shimon doesn't have the best claims, right, he's not holding in halachas of nizikin, Beis Din will put forth, you know, obvious claims for him. So it's not that, like, you know, he needs somebody to argue for him, right? He doesn't need a lawyer, right? Beis Din will do that if they, you know, the straightforward claims that Shimon, if he doesn't know how, right? So what are Reuven just like cheering him on? Like, what's the nafkamina here? So the Rishonim work on this. There's many answers. We'll just give one, a couple of the Tosas says here on the bottom. If you look at Tosas, Dimar Maskoldina, he says that there is a halacha that if Shimon at some point says, I have no more edim and no more proofs, so then even if he thinks of something later, right, he's no longer allowed to bring those proofs and those witnesses. But if he has Reuven, if Reuven is involved, Reuven can bring them for them. Reuven can, you know, kind of be like, he's one of the Bali Din, so he can bring more edim and proofs as well. Arithos also suggests that maybe if they want to go to the Beis Din HaGadol, right, the Beis Din, let's say the Sanhedrin Yishalayim, right, Shimon doesn't want to go, but Reuven can go and argue for him, so maybe Shimon isn't around, right, but Reuven can be, go in his stead. Okay, right, the Rishonim do work on this, and you can definitely check it out, but that's just something to point out. Okay, Vamar Abaye Abaye says as well. Reuven shemachar sade l'Shimon shelo b'achrayas, and Reuven sold a field to Shimon. Said I'm not going to pay you back if my balchov, if the guy I owe money to, comes and takes it. V'yatzu ala asikin, and some asikin came out. What are asikin? If you look at Rashi, arur in lomer shalanuhi. Some people show up and say, hey, that field that Reuven sold to Shimon, that field was never Reuven's. It was ours. Right, so if Shimon has not done a chazaka on the field, You know, as we'll see, as you can mention it here. Yeah, we'll see like what that means exactly if he doesn't. But okay, but if Shimon hasn't done the chazaka on the field, so yachal aksar, then he can take it back. I mean, he can go back on the purchase. Mishihichzik ba, but if he has done the chazaka, so then in yachal aksar, then he can't go back with the purchase. My time, and why? Damalei, because Reuven gets at him. Chaisa de katri savras v'kibalta. Right, yeah, literally means chaisa de katri. Literally means you picked up a bag of air. Meaning you knew about this field that it had. I wasn't going to give you back a chreis. You knew that I owed people money, right? You didn't, you didn't insist on a guarantee. You didn't insist on a chreis, right? So therefore, you blew it and you lost that. Okay. So Gemara says, "Me'emas have chazakas." And what's the chazaka we're talking about? Michli Daish, Daish Ametzri. When he walks around, right, the outside, the borders, right, of the field. There's something he would do, right? He would take care of it. He would kind of like mark it off, etc. Okay. V'davka shelo ba'achrayis, hal ba'achrayis lo. But if it, meaning, but, and that's only if there was no achrayis. But if there was achrayis, meaning low in the sense that Shimon can back out of the purchase, right, whenever, right. This is only a limitation if he bought it without achrayis, without the promise to pay back if someone takes it. V'gedamri, some people say avila ba'achrayis nami. That this is even, right, if there is achrayis, damrale, because Reuven consented him. Right, just show me the point. Right, show me the fact that he paid you, that he took the field and he didn't pay you. Reuven can say to Shimon, show me the point, the fact that this guy took the field from you. Right, prove it to me. Some sort of some sort of document or whatever, and I'll pay you back. But meanwhile, right, the sale is valid. And if you can prove that you don't have the field anymore, so then obviously I'll refund the money. Okay, now we go back to what we had said before, right? If you remember, we had a stira and psukim. Right, plus it gets said, meitav sadeh yishalem, you have to pay with best the meitav. Then we said, kesef yashiv ba'alav, you can pay kesef, and we had said, afilu subin, right? You can even pay, this lousy kind of grain, right, as payment. Right, so which is it? You have to pay meitav, right? We had a stira in the psukim, right? We had a couple possibilities how to work that out. So now we go back to that. Rav Huna says, Rav Huna Amar O Kesef O Meitav. Now, what the pasuk means, or the stirim suka means, that a guy can pay with either money, right, or Meitav, or the best of his fields. Meaning, that's his choice. Right, he can choose either one. Right, that's what the psukim, the stirim sukim, are coming to tell me. Eser Rav Nachman Rav Huna. Hey, Rav Nachman said, one second. Yashiv, right? The pasuk says Yashiv, right? The Yashiv Abala, Yashiv, pay back. That's the pasuk we said by Bor, right? The Rabbo Shevakesef, he can, Afilu Subin, right? That's what he said. He can even pay anything that's worth money, even Subin, even this lousy type of grain. So, Hachamayas Kinan, what are we dealing with? What's the case? The Leslie, right? What he must not be, must be what he has no Leslie. He has nothing else to pay. So Gemara says, well, either less like Pshita. Well, if he has nothing else to pay, well, obviously he can pay Subin. And he has to pay whatever he's got. So Gemara says, no, Mazdemi, you might have thought, Arminin, like, Zil Tarach, Zavin, Vaisa the Kesef. You might have thought that, no, and the Pasuk means to tell me that whatever you have, you need to sell and then give them my money. So, give the guy money. Then Kamash Malan said, no, you can just give him the items that you have, right, and you can pay with this Metaltalan. You don't have to go out of your way to actually get Kesef. Okay, Amar Ravasi. Ravasi says, "Ksaf Mareim Kekarka, Kesef, money is like karka." Now, Lamai Halacha, the Gemara says, "What do you mean that money is like karka? For what? Like Lamai Halacha, for what halacha? Elim, if you tell me Ilanyan Meitav, if you tell me that is the same halacha of Meitav, that Kesef is like karka, then so Hainu Rav Huna, that's what Rav Huna just said. Right, you have an option, either Kesef or Meitav. So that can't be what it is. El L'shnei Achem Shechelku must be." And now, spoiler alert, we're going to come back and say that actually is what we're talking about, but we're going to go through other possibilities first. It could be the following case. It's the following case where two brothers, Shechilku, that they split an inheritance. V'natal echad karka v'echad ksafim. One of them took the land that their father had, and one of them took the money. U'bob alcho v'natal karka. Right, and sure enough, the father owed money to somebody, and he came to collect, and he took the land. Right, da'azo hai v'shakal palga v'ksafim behedje. So the guy who, the son who took the land, right, then goes to his brother and takes, half the money because, that's the inheritance that they split. Half karka, half land, and then he takes his share, right, with the money that was given out. So the Gemara says, well, if that's what we're talking about, it's up to them. Well, it's obviously hai brava, hai lo bra. What, this guy's a son of the father, and this guy's not a son of the father? I mean, both of them inherit the father. So if the guy, they have to pay back their father's debts. So if their father's, people he owes money to come and take the field, So they split whatever's left. Right? What? That's not a chiddush. As Gemara says. So that can't be the case. And some people say that adraba, right? That it's the opposite. That leidach gisa, meaning what's it called? Meaning that the guy, the second brother, does not have to give the money, right, to the brother who lost the field. Damar lake, so you could say to him, the hakashakling selfim. That's exactly you could say to him. That's exactly why I took the money. Right? That if someone steals thy money, right? If someone steals my safe, you're not going to pay me for that. And you took the money, the land, and that's why you took land, so you wouldn't have to pay me back in the case of theft. But if you lose the land because someone came to collect it because he had a balchov because their father owed money, I don't have to pay you anything because I had the money. I mean, that could be dafka specifically why we took, right, different types of inheritance. So Ellos, rather, the case could be, right, maybe when Ravasi says that Kesef is like Karka, he's talking about this, that L'shnei Achim Shechilku, two sons split. Now, we're not talking about money and land, now we're talking, they split their inheritance, the Yerusha was just land. And they took the land, and Ubab Al-Chov V'Natal Chalko Shel Echamayim, and now that one of the sons loses their chelik of land. So, in that case, we're saying that money is like Karka. But the problem with that is that we already learned that already. Ravasi already told us that what the halacha is. I mean, that it's the same thing. That's because we already have a machlokes. What's it called? Meaning that, again, if you're telling me that, what is Ravasi saying? Ravasi is saying in this case, right, the brother doesn't have to give him his land. He can pay just half the value, right? He can pay the value of the land that he lost. He doesn't have to. Give him karka, right? That's what he means. Kesef harim ki karka. So but the problem is that Ravasi already told us this. The Itmar Kedu said, Achim Shechilku, again, in the same case, but you have two brothers split an inheritance. Ubal Balchov v'nato chelko she'echad, and one of them loses the land because his father owed money, and the Balchov comes to take it. So, Mechaman. Rav Amar Batla Machlokes. Rav says that the whole Machlokes, not, this doesn't mean an argument, meaning Chiluk, right? A Machlokes is to split something, meaning when they originally took the inheritance, that whole when they divided it, that whole splitting up of the Yerusha is null and void. That's gone. So that they have to redivide, right, the Yerusha. Okay. Shmuel says, Viter. No, that actually, that the guy who lost the land, right, is not able to go and collect from the other brother. Okay. Ravasi, I mean, this is what we're trying to bring, right? Amal notel revia bakarka revia bemos. He can get either a quarter of, meaning, again, if the brothers split the land, so there's half of the Yerusha is by one brother, half is by the other brother. So now when you lose one half, right, he's coming to take a portion, so that's going to be a quarter, right? It's going to be a fourth, right, of the Yerusha. So he takes either a fourth of the land or a fourth of the money. That's literally exactly what Ravasi said, right? That money is like land. So he has a choice, either, or they have a choice, either pay back, right, one fourth land, one fourth money, but that's literally the halacha we're learning about. So why would he have to say that again? Now the Gemara just goes through the argument over here. Rav Amar Batla Machlokas. Why does Rav say that the Machlokas, the whole original dividing of the Yerusha, division, I guess is probably the word, division of the Yerusha is no good, and you have to redo it again, because Kasavar Achim Shechilku Yorshim Habu. The sons that kind of split up the Yerusha, they're considered to be Yorshim, right, inheritors, and therefore, right, if something's wrong with the division, with the splitting up of the Yerusha, they have to do it again, and they have to kind of like recalculate it. Ushmuel Amar Vita, Shmuel says that no, the brother who lost the land loses everything, can't make the other guy pay, the brother pay, Kasavar Achim Shechilku Luchkukos. That he holds that sons that inherit their father are like lekuchos, meaning as if they're buying each portion, because they don't know exactly what they're doing. Right? They originally were supposed to get a certain portion, then they divide it amongst themselves. It's like they're buying it from each other, and then kulucheach shel b'achrayis tami, and it's as if they bought it without achrayis. So therefore, if one of them loses it, right, so then they don't have to get paid back. For Ravasi, Amar Ravasi says, "Notol revia b'karka revia b'maos." Why does he say he gets a fourth? Right, they split it. Either one. Right, he's not sure whether the halacha treats them like lekuchos, like they're buying the property from each other, or like they're inheritors. Hilchach, therefore, notol revia b'karka revia b'maos. Therefore, he's going to take, right, you know, whatever they want, right, one, you have to split it, right, it's a 1/4 either money, right, or land. Meaning, as opposed to, right, Rav, who said that they split it, meaning that they would have to split the land. Okay, LMI, so, I mean, but really, right, what are we talking about, right? Mahari and Kakarka, what was still again, back to the point, Ravasi said that money is like karka. If you tell me it's this case, which kind of does line up, that's what he says. Well, he already told us that. We already learned that. So we don't need to tell me again, right, in some random statement that money is like karka. So what does he mean? Linyan Meitav. Really, for Meitav, right? Like we've been saying before, like Ravuna said, right, that money is like Meitav. You can pay with either one. Yaki Hainad Ravuna. But didn't we say that was what Ravuna said? So Gemara says, you're right. And therefore, yeah, we should also say Ravasi also says, like Ravuna, that money is like karka. Okay. Now, Amar Ravizera, Amar Ravuna. Ravizera says in the name of Ravuna, b'mitzvah achlish, by a mitzvah up to a third. Now, as that's obviously very vague, and the Gemara immediately asks, my shlish, what do you mean? A third. Ilay meshlish beso, right? If you're dealing with paying for a mitzvah, what does that mean? So Rashi says, Chayev Adam Levazves Bemitzvah Lulav Otzitzis Osever Torah Shlish Mashiyeshlo. A person has to pay 1/3 of what they have to fulfill a mitzvah, whether it's Lulav, whether it's Tzitzis, whether it's Sefer Torah. Person, if he means you have to pay 1/3 of your money to do a mitzvah, El Miata Isrami Leitlasa Mitzvosa Leisi Lekula Beite. Well, then you only got 3 mitzvahs in your gun. You only got 3 bullets there, right? If you have to pay 1/3 of your money for a mitzvah, so the second you get 3 mitzvahs, the 3 mitzvahs come across, because you got no money left. That can't be, that doesn't make any sense. Elam Reb Zera, right? So behidr mitzvah shlish. What it means, behidr mitzvah. When a person is beautifying a mitzvah, if a person wants to, you know, buy either a nice Sefer Torah, the most obvious one is nicer Esrog, right? Zeh keli v'anveu, right? Big mitzvah, hidr mitzvah. Right? You pay ad shlish b'mitzvah. This is important. 1/3 of the amount of money you spent on the mitzvah, right? You can spend, you know, to make it more beautiful. Right? So if the standard Esrog costs $100, well, we'll see how to calculate it in a second. But, you know, you can pay up to 1/3 to get a nicer Esrog. It ends up being more than that. So Rabbi, in terms, I didn't give him a number because we're going to do that right now. But Ravashi, shlishmi legavu, shlishmi levar. And the Gemara's answer, take you, which is just explain the two possibilities. Well, how do you calculate the third? And the easiest way is to use it with $100. Do we say it's a third? Well, I'm not going to be able to do it's a third, yeah. No, I can do it with $100. Never mind. Yeah, usually, it's a fifth. We talk about, you know, 1/5 is really 1/4. But okay, either way. Meaning, when we say it's 1/3, what is that before the entire calculation or after the entire calculation? Literally, milugav milavar means inside or outside. But does it mean like this? Does it mean a third of the $100? Right, and therefore it would be 33, so you end up paying 133, or is it a third of the total, meaning that when you put it all together, it becomes 1/3, so that would be $50. Right, so meaning that $50 plus 100 is 150, and then the third, right, is a third of the total in question. Okay, that's two possibilities of calculating it, right, we don't, then Gemara says teku. Pemarava in the West, i.e. in Eretz Yisrael, Amrei, they said, Mishmei Rabbi Zeira, Ad Shlish Mishalo, Mekam Ve'elech, Mishel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They said, 1/3 person has to pay, meaning Mishalo, right, from your own money. Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not necessarily going to pay back. Again, Rashi, just read Rashi, Ad Shlish Mishalo, Hainu, Oso Shlish, Shayosu, Behidra Mitzvah, and Mishalo, right, Ve'esheinu Nifrabo B'chaya. I mean, obviously you get paid back for mitzvah, so doing the Indian Hidra Mitzvah, right, it's an added Kiyom, right, you get paid back in the next world, but in this world, Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't promise to pay back up until a third, but mikan ve'elach mishal Kosh Baruch Hu. At that point, Kosh Baruch Hu, right, pays you back for it, as the Gemara Rashi says, Mashi Yosef behider Yoser al shlish yuparlo Kosh Baruch Hu bechayev. The Kosh Baruch Hu will pay you back for that extra money, for the extra expenditure, right, during your life. So it's not, in that case, it's not saying, oh, you should only spend 1/3 on a hidur mitzvah, and more than that is inappropriate, right? So now what we're saying, again, I'm not sure if that, I assume that was pashut pshat, right, and what we're saying up until now, but now we're saying that, no, in Eretz Yisrael, they said that, no, Kosh Baruch Hu will pay back more than a third, meaning up until a third, that's your responsibility, to pay more than a third of the item's value and pay, let's say, $133 for the Esrog. But if you spend $500 on the Esrog, obviously within your means, right? So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises to pay you back for the rest of it. That's different. That's obviously a very different formulation. But okay, right? Again, that's a whole different shmooz about money and Parnassa, which we did at the end of Maseches Kiddushin, right, with the last Mishnah over there. Okay, new Mishnah, right, second Mishnah in the Masechta. Kol Shech, a very vague Mishnah that we're going to have to come back to a bunch of times and try and define and evaluate what's going on over here. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Kol Shechavti b'shmiroso echsharti es nizko. A lot of lumdus over here that they spend a lot of time on this in Yeshiva. But okay, right, we're obviously going to try to do it as much justice as we can. Kol shechavti b'shmiroso hechsharti es nizko. If a person, chavti, first of all, it's written in first person, which is very interesting, because usually the Mishnah does not do that. But okay, anyway, kol shechavti b'shmiroso, anything that I am chayiv b'shmiroso, to guard, to watch over, hechsharti es nizko. I have hechsher, we have hechsher, you know, we have prepared its damage, meaning that if you don't guard it, right, if you don't watch over it, so then you are chayiv, right, it's a funny way of saying, you are chayiv to pay for damages. Hechsharti b'miktas nizko, right, if you kind of prepare or create, right, some of the damage, right, some for some reason, right, you're sort of half negligent or liable or whatever, so then chayiv b'shlumei nizko, kishe hechzer, kol nisko, right? You have to pay just like you caused the entire damage, right? If you only, for whatever reason, you caused some of the damages, you're going to pay the entire thing. Now, obviously, we have to come back and explain what exactly is going on over here. Now, chasim she'in behen mi'ila, right? What are we talking about over here? Which cases that you're going to be chayiv to pay damages for, to pay for nezek? The chasim she'in behen mi'ila, any property that does not have the isra mi'ila, i.e., it's a fancy way of saying it's not hekdesh. Nechasim she'ein shal b'nei bris, anything that belongs to Jews. Nechasim ha-miyuchadim, things that are miyuchad, meaning that owned by a specific people, meaning not publicly owned, but privately owned. We call makom, anything that happens in any place, chutz, except mirshus ha-miyuchadis la-mazik, for the property that is owned by the mazik. Meaning if my shore goes into Shimon's or Reuven, let's say Reuven's, field, and then Shimon's shore gores my shore. So that's not Shimon's problem, right? That's if it happens in the miuchedes lamazik, right? And if it's in the damager's property, right? If I trespass, right, he's not going to be chayiv for damaging me or my stuff. Or another exclusion will be a situation where we both own both of these things. Right, that it's jointly owned by the two of us. Okay, that's also an exclusion where we're not going to necessarily be say yuchayev and kishehizik. And when you damage, so then chav mazik l'shalim tishuz l'menezik meitav. All right, again, as we said before, when you damage, so then the guy is chayev to pay with meitav. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa. Kol shechad dishmiras v'chad esnitzko keitzad. What's the case over there where you're supposed to guard something, you're supposed to watch something, right? And you then therefore are chayev in its damages. Shor ubor shemashon l'chayev shadur katan. Fascinating. A case that Gemara says that you gave something over to a chereshot of a katan, someone who does not have das, legal das, does not have legal ability, responsibility to watch over something, and you give either an ox or a pit to one of these people, chereshot of a katan, cheresh deaf mute, show to someone who's crazy, someone who doesn't have, you know, not in the right mindset, and a katan obviously less than bar mitzvah, or it could be less than, okay, whatever. The heziku and what the thing that they were quote unquote supposed to watch over damages, chayev l'shalim. That is Chayev, Masha in came be'ish, which is not true then, of fire. It's not true. If I give fire to a chayev shadur katan, I'm going to be potter. I'm not going to be chayev, as opposed to if I give an ox or a pit, then I am going to be chayev. So Gemara immediately dives in and says, "B'mayaskinu, what's the case exactly when I gave these items over to a chayev shadur katan? If Elim, if you tell me b'shor kosher bor mechusa, that the ox was tied up and the pit was covered, and the kavasi gabe eish gacheles, and the comparable case by fire is a coal, and the reason that a comparable case by fire is a coal is that all of these things need an extra step for the item in question to go damage, right? A shore needs to be untied, a pit needs to be uncovered, a gacheles, a coal, needs to be fanned or whatever, however you turn a coal with the heat, right? Turn that into a flame. There needs some sort of action here. So if that's true, so maishna hacha, right? Why in the world would it be chayiv by a shor and a bor and potter by eish? Ella, now it must be rather, the case is Bishor Mutar Bor Magula. The shore, the axe is untied. The boar, the pit, is uncovered. The Kavasi Gabe Eish shall have us. And in the comparable case by fire, right, is a flame. So Masha Enke Beish the Potter. Well, what do you tell me? Tell me that in that case, we give a cheresh at the a flame, as opposed to an untied ox or an uncovered boar. Well, the Hamar Reish Lakish Meshmei the Chizkiya, where Reish Lakish says the name of Chizkiya, Lo Shanu El Shemaser Lo Gechalas VeLiba. Right, that's the only time you're going to be chayiv if you give it to cheresh at the if you gave him. I'm sorry, the only time you're going to be potter is. The only time you can be potter when you give it to the cheresh of the katan, if you gave him a coal and the viliba, right, and then he fanned it, right, and he turned it into a fire. Avashal heves, but you give him a fire, chayiv, then he can be chayiv. So the case here where you're going to be potter, meaning we said, again, just to remember, we said that by shore and boar, you're going to be chayiv if you give the cheresh of the katan, and if you give him a fire, you're going to be potter. So if you're telling me the case is we gave him a fire, so Reish Lakish already said in the name of Chizkiya that you're going to be chayiv. My time, why is that? Right, the hub bar hezeka, because these things are ready to damage. Right, they're ready to roll. Right, the fire is ready to damage. It's literally, you know, fire is fire. It's dangerous. Right, we don't give it to little kids, right, for a good reason. So it can't be. That's the case. So what's the case? I mean, either you gave him a coal and need an extra action. Well, that's still no difference. No different than a shore that's tied up and a boar that's covered. And if you give him a fire, right, that's, you know, similar to an untied ox and an uncovered boar. Well, we said already that a fire is going to be again, it's going to be chayiv. And you said up top in the brisa that it's going to be potter. So what's going on over here? Sigmar says, Lolum b'shor kasher bor mechusa kuvasa gam ve'esh kachelas. Really, the case is like the first way we said, that the shore is tied up and the boar is covered, right, and you gave the chayishat of a katan a coal. Gamartas. Now, what's the difference? My shna hacha. Right. What's the difference between a shor and a boar on the one hand, where you're going to be chayiv, and a coal on the other hand, where you're going to be potter? Because shor darcheh lintuke and boar darcheh linture. The nature of a shor and a boar is that the ox kind of moves around. Right. He's going to end up untying itself. Right, and the pit also, the pit gets uncovered, right? Again, it's in Rishus Rabim, or people move, or the ground moves, or the cover is not, it's not nailed down. Yeah, it's going to get uncovered. But gacheles, but a coal, to come with the shavagle me'ame amya. Right, a coal needs real work, right? Again, if you leave a coal alone, right, a coal, right, you have to actually fan that into a fire actively. Right, if you leave a coal by itself, it's going to get darker and darker, and the fire is going to go out. So the default position by shore and a boar is that it's going to eventually become, right, more damageable, or more common, damageable, whatever. And by a coal, right, it's going to progressively go out and become less likely to damage, right, as it goes along, and therefore you would be putter in that case. V'azla Rabbi Yochanan, V'amyo V'azla. Ulu Rabbi Yochanan, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, da'amar afilu masra l'shal heves, nami putter. But again, if you remember, we said Rabbi Reish Lakish says, if you give the kid a fire, if you give the chayr shetav a katam a fire, then he's going to be chayiv. Rabbi Yochanan says that you actually are going to be putter. Right, so mean the kavas, and therefore you could learn differently, like we said before. The kavasi hacha b'shor mutar bor magula. Right, so you could say that you're going to be potter, right? If you give the kid a fire, you're going to be chayiv. If you get an untied shore and an uncovered boar, well, you still. But the thing is, you're still left with the question we had before: maishna hacha. What's the difference then? Why would you be chayiv by a shore and a boar that's uncovered or an untied versus a fire where you're going to be potter? Skamar says, Hasam Savda de Cherish Kagarim. Because there, this is something that you have to spend time on, we're obviously just going to end it here by the Tanya Rabbanan, where that Savda, which is the grip of the Cherish of the Vekatan, is what is going to cause, right, the damage. I mean, the Cherish of the Vekatan is holding, right, the fire. I mean, he's going to be holding the fire, and therefore, right, you're not responsible for the maisim of cheresh ad v'katan. But by the shore boar and the boar, was lotzat the cheresh kagarim. Right, that's not the actual, literally the grip of the cheresh ad v'katan that's going to make the damage. The ox happens not to be covered; it's going to damage by itself. The pit is not covered. The ox is not tied up; it's going to damage. Right, and therefore, the guy who gave it over the cheresh ad v'katan to watch, he's chayiv. But if you give a fire to cheresh ad v'katan, he's the one, right, who's causing the damages by the fire, and therefore the guy in Chanami shouldn't have given it to him, but it's the damage itself, right, is caused by Chayesh HaTavar Katan, and that's not the responsibility of the guy who gave it. Okay, we're going to stop here and go right there on the Heilige Shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.